We'll look at the tape.
Hogan Johns.
I think we got to come out hard and stay hard.
Part of Chicago's best Bears coverage.
I don't know.
Now, here they are.
They're day-to-day in my mind.
WGN Radio's very own Adam Hogue.
I'm filing.
And the Chicago Sun-Times' Adam Johns.
What an a-hole.
Hug it, chug it, football!
That's right. If you're listening closely there, new name.
So is this technically episode one?
No.
Sticking with 80.
It's episode 80.
Okay.
I don't want to start all over. It's still
what
episode...
What happens when we hit 100? We're going to hit 100.
I don't know. Let's start doing, like, the referees' number still going triple digits?
I don't know.
Is that...
You're Mr. Officiating. I don't follow their back of the jerseys.
We could start doing officials' numbers. I'm not even sure if that's right or not. Some sport has referee numbers that go in... Might be NFL.
Who cares about... You love your officiating.
Yeah, but not that much. I don't know their numbers. We used to have a producer that did.
Really?
Yeah, remember OC? I think OC might listen to this podcast.
Does he have issues?
Game. Yeah, he would like know...
I know Billy.
I would come in with the official on Tuesday or Wednesday or whatever that was. I would tell him on the...
You know the official's numbers by heart. That's what you're saying.
I would say what the official was for the Sunday's game, and then he would know the number like immediately off the top of his head. That's hardcore.
I don't know if you want to qualify that as a skill.
Yeah.
It's definitely a sick obsession. Not healthy. Bill, if you're listening, I'm here for you.
I think OC listens. We'll have to get him some therapy for that. This is episode 80 of the Hogan Johns podcast. We have changed the name. Subtle hints at that were thrown out there a little bit. This is not a big deal in my mind. For those wondering why. First of all, we've had some listeners advocate for a name change.
That is true.
I'm not going to lie. Intentional Grounding wasn't the most popular name. I don't think it was like getting Donald Trump like backlash, but it was I was annoyed by it a little bit because it took up so many characters on Twitter.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
You know, that's really what it comes down to. You got to condense.
Your Twitter obsession?
Yeah. You got to condense.
The 140 characters?
Right. And how many characters is Intentional
How many
grounding?
Is the Intentional Grounding?
I don't feel like counting it right now.
Mm-hmm.
Someone tweeted at me that we'll have the answer. We talked about it with some higher ups.
Mm-hmm.
Some names were kicked around. One possibility was the Adam and Adam podcast.
I was in favor of that.
Yeah, I didn't hate that. That was shot down for good reasons by people above us who make more money than we do. And then our friend Pat Finley brought up the name Splitting Atoms.
See, I didn't like that.
Okay.
This is a guy who named his podcast Palace Intrigue.
Am I missing something with that name?
I think it's Palace Intrigue.
Oh.
So Palace Intrigue, okay. Splitting Atoms.
Yeah, because he's been very proud of that name. And
and if you're just getting it now,
I just
and
got
if Pat
it now.
Happens to be listening,
right.
Our competitive podcast, even though we're in the same publication either way.
Yeah, you do work with him. Anyway, so going forward, this is the Hogan Johns podcast. That's it. Not a big deal. You get used to it. You can still follow us on Twitter at Adam Hogue, H-O-G-E, at Adam Johns, J-A-H-N-S. And read us at WGNRadio.com/Bears and ChicagoSunTimes.com. We'll both have stuff up from today. Busy day. We are in Indianapolis, I should say. We're at the NFL Combine right now, our Spring Hill Suite studio.
Yes.
That we've come to know and love down here in Indy. And the Combine is going on. Heard from Ryan Pace today. Heard from John Fox. We'll get all into that in a second. As far as subscribing to the podcast on iTunes, if you've already subscribed to Intentional Grounding, at some point that'll flip over. I'm not exactly sure how that all works. It's been submitted on our website. The name is now Hogan Johns. There's something with iTunes. It might take a few more days. So if you're looking at this on your phone right now and it still says Intentional Grounding, that will change over. You don't have to do anything. If you are not a subscriber, you'd like to subscribe.
Please do.
I think you should probably still search for intentional grounding. But if that doesn't work, try Hogan John's, and within a few days we'll get that all worked out, and you won't have to worry about it anymore. But yeah, we're here in Indy, and we heard from Ryan Pace this morning in front of a headless Alshon Jeffrey mannequin.
The irony.
Oh, it's great.
It was fitting, actually, in a sense. Now, we should say it wasn't. Every team was represented by a headless number 17.
So
in this new combine bonanza they got down here.
They set up this whole new fan experience in the Indiana Convention Center, which is great. It was really cool to be in there. And every team is represented by a backdrop with the team logo and a mannequin that doesn't have a head so that you can take your picture behind it, right?
Yes, yes.
And every single jersey for every team says 17 for 2017. But in the Bears' case, happens to be, you know, arguably their best player who may or may not be on the team a week from now.
Yeah, so it was very fitting.
Pretty funny.
Of course, Alshon Jeffrey was addressed and asked about at length to Ryan Pace.
Here's what I want to do. Pace talked for 17 minutes, one of his longer press conferences.
Yeah.
We're not going to play the entire thing for you, but I think there's enough in here, especially early, talking about Alshon Jeffrey, Jay Cutler, the draft coming up, and what they're going to get out of this with the combine. And so we're going to play about 8-9 minutes of that for you right now. Ryan Pace today here in Indianapolis. If we say this always, it's a podcast, so if you don't want to hear it or you've already heard it, skip ahead about 8-9 minutes. We'll be right back to, you know, analyze everything he had to say. But this naturally today, when we talked to him in the convention center, started with the status of Alshon Jeffrey and the decision not to franchise him for the second straight year.
Yeah, you know, it's kind of, you know, thought out thoroughly, obviously. And, you know, I think sometimes, you know, you can't come to a common ground with a player and an agent. Sometimes it's necessary to kind of test the market to determine that player's value. And that's really where we're at. So he's a good player, and we'll see how it plays out. But I think there's, you know, there's certain instances where testing the market is necessary part of the process.
How active do you expect the back and forth to be with him and Torrey when free agency opens?
Yeah, you know, I think, you know, we're constantly having dialogue with him, and that'll continue like it has, you know, pretty much always. So,
how would you describe your situation now with Jay?
You know, he's, you know, Jay's under contract, so, you know, it's, you know, it's fluid. I would describe it as fluid. There's a lot of conversations going on between us and Bus Cook. I think one of the things with Jay is one of the things I value is his agent, Bus Cook, and we, you know, we're close. And I think in times like these, that relationship's important because we can be honest and transparent. I think he's one of the top agents out there, and I think that helps in this process.
How would you like to see his status resolved?
Who's
Jay's?
It's fluid. A lot's got to play out. You know, I think in general, guys, just the quarterback situation, and obviously that's the hot topic, and it should be. There's a lot of scenarios right now, and there's a lot of different things that can happen, and it is fluid, and it's fluid throughout this week, and as we approach free agency, and even after free agency, and it's our responsibility to have a plan in place, which we do, that's flexible and adaptable as the landscape's changing, and that's kind of where we're at.
But when you look at the options that you have, mm-hmm. what's attractive to you?
I guess just the number of different options. You know, there's whether it's trades or free agents or draft or are staying the course with what we had. There's a lot of different options, and honestly, I just have to be flexible because there's some unpredictable things that can happen along the way, and we've kind of gone over every situation, and that's where we're at. He's far along in his rehab, so I wouldn't say he's there yet, but he's definitely ahead of progress. Yeah, he hadn't got to that point yet, but he's ahead of schedule.
Have you been communicating with him, or is everything going through bus?
Both. Mm-hmm.
Have you received any indication that he doesn't want to be a Bear or be a part of what you guys are doing?
No, I have not received that.
Do those options include him staying with the Bears?
Yeah, that's one of the options, too. So, yeah, Moon, at this point, we pretty much have everything on the table. And I think for us, just to do it the responsible way, that's necessary. So.
Ryan, with the fluidity of the Alshon situation, what's the process of formulating contingency plans at the position just in case he does get away?
Yeah, we do. I mean, our pro, starting with Josh Lucas, Champ Kelly, our pro scouts, they've done a great job of kind of, you know, our free agent board is stacked, and, you know, there's options in free agency, there's options in the draft, and, you know, we got to see how it plays out. You know, we'll know a lot more you know, in the coming week, you know, a little over a week from now, I'll be able to answer questions a little bit more direct with you guys. Right now, that's where it's at. So we have plans in place for every one of these scenarios. I feel extremely prepared for this free agency process that we're about to enter, and it kind of gives me confidence with all these different scenarios.
How do you balance your desire to stay disciplined with the spending with the reality of what the roster is, plus the fact that you have money to spend? How do you balance that?
That's a good question, man. There is a delicate balance. You know, there's a balance between being aggressive and being decisive, but being responsible. You know, and I think sometimes, you know, You can always recover from the player you didn't sign. You can't recover from the player you signed at the wrong price. And I think we got to be conscious of that, you know.
Along those lines, in the past with the draft, you talk about sticking to that draft board, you know, no matter what. With free agency, is it similar in terms of, okay, you might have like a dollar amount assigned to everybody and sticking to that no matter what happens?
Pretty much. You're disciplined with that. And ideally in free agency, we're addressing, you know, most of our needs to allow the draft to be best player available, which is, you know, increases your odds. You know, between Joey Lane and myself, you know, we have kind of parameters set up for each guy, kind of what we expect it's going to get to. And we have to know when we're going north of that number and when we might need to back away, which can be hard, being honest, because you're competitive, you know, and you visualize certain guys on your team. But once it goes north of a number, you also got to be responsible and disciplined. And so to answer your question, honestly, it can be a challenge.
Is it tough to address the receiver position in free agency when your quarterback is in question?
Yeah, that, you know, that comes up. You know, if I'm a free agent, you know, those are questions that I'd want to know. You know, that's it. And so, but I think, you know, I think with a lot of these things, it just comes down to the contract, you know. So,
Ryan, this week afforded you the chance to actually sit down with some of the prospects. What are some of the intangibles you and your staff put a value on when you're, you know, finalizing your grades?
Yeah, that part's awesome. So I think, you know, we talk about the value of the combine, and this event's become bigger and bigger. You guys have seen it. It's the medicals that are going on during the day, and then it's the interviews that we're doing at the nighttime. And so for us, you know, those are 15 minutes a piece. That's like speed dating. They're coming in one after another. And for us, our college scouts have done such a great job, Mark Sadowski and the whole college scouting department, of kind of knowing a lot of their backgrounds. So when they get in that room, we're really trying to gauge their football intelligence, which our coaches can do a good job of doing that. So we're looking for – you feel a guy when he comes in the room, does he have that charisma? Does he have confidence? Is he naturally football intelligent? I know it's only 15 minutes, but we kind of have a plan in place to quickly pull that out. But after this, guys, we're still going to visit their schools. We're still going to have 30 visits to Hallis Hall, so there's still a long process that's got to play out, but this will be the first time, like, for a lot of our coaches to see these guys eye to eye, which is important.
Well, right. What can you get out of the throwing sessions on Saturday morning?
With the quarterbacks?
Yeah, what can you guys get out of it?
I mean, you can get a feel for their release and their velocity and those things, but again, overall, Rich, it's not just the quarterback. We got to be careful here. You know, I think you see a lot of mistakes made when you get enamored with these measurables and whatnot, and they're important. It's important to see apples to apples, but it's all on the tape, man, and I think, you know, these guys are working out in their underwear. We just got to be a little bit careful that the weight is more on what we're seeing on tape as a football player.
Ryan, you know? How do you create expectations for Kevin White?
He's coming along fast, you know, and I still have a lot of confidence in him. He has a lot of confidence in himself. You know, we're getting daily reports kind of on his progress. So I just want to see steady, consistent progress from him. And I think, you know, right now he's getting his body all in alignment and he's feeling good, and, you know, when I see footage of kind of where he's at now, I get excited. So I just want to just see steady improvement.
But is it hard for you to consider him a potential number one receiver because we just haven't seen enough?
Yeah, it's hard. Yeah, the last 2 years we haven't seen a lot. But I think I have confidence in our doctors and his rehab and his work ethic to get to the point he needs to get to.
Ryan, what will be the first points for you to go to the decision whether you use the number three overall pick on a college player to treat that pick?
I think it's really understanding the depth of this draft, you know. So we'll have obviously all kinds of scenarios on who's going to potentially be there at that pick, and then also scenarios on, hey, this is you know, maybe this specific draft is deep, and maybe there's a lot of value at a certain section in the draft where if it's advantageous for us to trade back and acquire more picks, then that could be a viable option. So we just have to sort out the depth of the draft.
Are you comfortable with the amount of picks you have right now?
We'd always like more picks, you know, so I think, you know, more picks just increases your odds, and especially, you know, when you're a team that has, you know, needs.
So. Right, from your first 2 years in the GM's chair, are there things you've learned through the free agency process that help you going forward?
I think so. I think, you know, coming from New Orleans, my background had always been more in pro scouting, so I've always been very comfortable in free agency and kind of understanding that you know, hey, it's, free agency is dangerous. You know, I feel like, you know, you're stepping through kind of like landmines, and you got to be careful you don't step on the wrong one, you know. And a lot of times, sometimes these guys are available for a reason, so you have to sort through that. But I'm comfortable in free agency just because that's more of my background. So,
Ryan, you say about what would you classify as a successful, you know, sort of foray through free agency?
I think that, you know, if we look back and we say, you know, we've addressed some of our critical needs and we'll feel, I'll be able to be much more honest with you after that happens, and we can kind of touch on that.
Ryan, what sense do you have from Alshon that he wants to remain?
I have a good sense on that. You know, it's just a matter, like all these things, you guys know, these contract negotiations can be complicated, and we're at a point right now where this is kind of where it is. You know, us tagging him 2 years in a row really wasn't an option for us, so we'll see how it plays out right now.
So there it is. Comes full circle, back around to Alshon Jeffrey there, and you heard, and maybe the most clear-cut quote of that entire thing was right at the end, the franchise tag for the second straight year was not really an option.
Right.
And Brian Pace said,
I think we discussed this in our previous podcast. He's not a $17.5 million player. He is not a market-setting receiver. But I get what his side is trying to do. You're trying to get the highest amount of money, the most money that you can for your player. This is...
Well, it seems to me like the Bears haven't budged on their number going back to over a year from... year ago.
I'm guessing Jeffrey's side has a budget on their numbers. So maybe they've even gone up with Antonio Brown getting $17 million a year.
So you go to the open market. And Ryan Pace said today, sometimes that's what it takes.
Yep.
So maybe, I didn't get the sense that the door is closed. Did you?
No. I think Pace described it as he expects a back and forth. That's why I wanted to clarify with him at least. Whether or not he'd be surprised if that back and forth does not happen, whether he finds out through whatever that Alshon Jeffrey has signed with the Eagles or the Dolphins or somebody without having a chance to match or counter. I think he still expects some type of dialogue, but I wouldn't be surprised if Alshon Jeffrey, by the time 3 o'clock comes around in Chicago on March 9th, that Alshon Jeffrey is being announced almost immediately as a member of a new team. I would not be surprised at all.
So you're not very optimistic that he's going to stay with the Bears?
Not whatsoever. Now, there's always a chance that the market doesn't turn out to be what he expects it to be. I've talked to some people who tend to believe that, and those are people outside the Bears organization, that the market will not be as lucrative as perhaps an Alshon Jeffrey thinks it can be for his services.
I kind of agree with that.
But all it takes is one team to really drive up that price.
And it should be mentioned that, at least in my opinion, he goes right to the top of the list among wide receivers. So,
well, without question.
So, yes, he's not the most durable guy. Yes, he has that PED suspension that's hanging over him from this past year when he actually did seem healthy. Gets docked 4 games. And that all matters. But like you said, it only takes one team, and he is at the top of the list in terms of talent at the wide receiver position. So someone may be willing to overpay. Maybe that's the gamble that Ryan Pace is taking right now. And I think what you brought up is a very important part of this. Will Torrey Dandy at least come back and make that phone call and say, you know, X team, you know, maybe it's the Eagles, X team has offered us this.
Yeah.
Are you willing to budge off the number that you obviously have not been able, you know, willing to budge off of for the last, you know, year or so? And maybe that's the point where Ryan Pace says, yes, actually, we will match that. And then the question is, if it's just a matching issue, where does Alshon really want to be?
Yeah.
You know, where, if it, all things equal, money-wise, would he want to go to Philly or would he want to stay in Chicago?
That's why I thought it was important to at least clarify again if Pace had any feeling or sense that Alshon Jeffrey wanted to remain in Chicago. Now, he gave a very vague answer because I don't think Alshon Jeffrey has given any concrete answers on his desire to be in Chicago. Everything that Alshon Jeffrey has said in the past when asked if he wants to stay with the team that drafted him is, I love Chicago, I love the fans, but he never really talks specifically about the team. Just always, always vague about it.
Let's hear that answer from Ryan Pace. This is kind of the back and forth between you and Ryan, starting with the sense that Alshon wants to be on the Bears still.
I have a good sense on that. You know, it's just a matter, like all these things, you guys know, these contract negotiations can be complicated, and we're at a point right now where this is kind of where it is. You know, us tagging him 2 years in a row really wasn't an option for us, so we'll see how it plays out right now.
You mentioned the back and forth. Would it be surprising if he doesn't come back and you don't have an attempt to offer or to match the offer he gets out there?
It's still got to play out. You know, I'll have a lot of conversations with Torrey this week, and it's just got to play out, you know. And I hope you guys appreciate, like, I always want to be honest, but we're at such a sensitive time right now, and it's just hard for me to be detailed on a lot of these questions. The two press conferences that are the hardest is this one and the one right before the draft. So I'm trying to work with you all, but it's, I hope you guys appreciate that.
Looking at that again and listening to that again, I almost wonder if he didn't really understand the question.
No, I think he...
That seems like something he still could have addressed, you know, and say, well, yeah, we hope that we at least hear.
But at least I think the key word there is complicated. You know, sure, he may have his, I don't know if there's as many positives that outweigh the negatives for Alshon Jeffery to staying in the Bears. You know what I'm saying? Like you kind
of. Well, one of the great questions that I thought was asked today was from Dion Miller at ABC, and she asked, how does the quarterback situation impact the conversations you have with these wide receivers, mm-hmm. whether it's Alshon or any of them, free agency-wise? The question mark you have at quarterback is a big one. And, you know, Ryan admitted, you want to know who your quarterback is. If you're a wide receiver, you're not going to sign. You're more likely to go sign with Tom Brady if that's an option than, you know, Jay Cutler, Brian Hoyer, or whoever.
Yeah. Now, that said, if the Bears still offered Alshon Jeffery $17 million a year, if you were playing quarterback, I think Alshon Jeffery would happily sign
Which Pace
up.
Did say. Pace did come around to that and say, well...
Said you're an option for quarterback?
No. Oh, yeah.
Because everything's an option for quarterback.
Everything's an option. No, that it ultimately comes down to the money.
Yes. Yes,
you know,
always.
You know, you offer the money, and guys are willing to play with Rex Grossman. Okay.
Are you going to go sexy Rexy already? How about Caleb Haney? You get worse. Moses Marino.
Fine.
Shane Matthews. Craig Krenzel.
Yeah, if you're offering me $5 million more.
The dark years, man. Those are the dark years.
To catch footballs from Craig Krenzel, I'll do it.
Craig Krenzel won a national championship.
That's fine. Fake national championship.
Whatever.
Still
national championship.
Pass interference.
Anyway.
Just ask my co-host, Jared Payton, about that.
I will one day.
I don't know that I've ever talked to him about that, to be honest.
He was on that Miami team?
Yes, he was.
But the point being there is, yes, money talks. And look, I think Alshon, at least he should be informed enough that the Bears are probably making a change at quarterback. He should know it.
Well, I think he understands that.
Yes, yes. Everybody, the entire team has been changed. Now, he was upset when Brandon Marshall was sent away. I'm sure he didn't like that Martellus Bennett was sent away. But he is to realize what is going on with that team. They're rebuilding. And he could be, and they have no problem with him being the next. Okay, maybe not as strongly as Brandon Marshall or Martellus Bennett, but if he is let go, or if he is allowed to, if he signs with another team, there will be nobody from the 2013 draft or earlier on the Bears roster. How crazy is that?
Yeah, that is crazy.
Was it 2012? One of those years.
No, because Jeffrey was Shea McClellan's year.
Was that 2012?
That was 13, 14, 15, 16. So yeah, that would have been 2012.
Okay.
Yeah.
So nobody from 2012 or before.
Yeah, Kyle Long was 2013.
That's right. Okay.
Kyle Fuller was 2014.
Okay.
Yeah.
So it just speaks to how much work Pace has to do.
Yeah. Well, one of the few things that John Fox said today that I thought was interesting, maybe the only thing, as he amazingly went through question after question, not answering the question. He said today that we've been doing more erasing over the last, through 2 years, been doing more erasing than anything else, partly to get younger, partly to get better.
Yes.
The get better part, I think, is still coming. But there's no question that where this team is at right now. They spent 2 years erasing a lot of the problems, a lot of the big money on this team. So here they are with a ton of cap space. I did the math today. I think it's $57 million because the NFL announced
the official number.
The official cap number today, and the Bears have $175 million after carryover. That's actually their cap number. And let's see if I have this here. Yeah, $57,023,321 that they have to use right now. Will they use all that? Probably not.
They shouldn't.
But they have that space. Mm-hmm. So they can now, after doing all that erasing, they can now fill it in with the money that they believe is better spent. And I like what Pace said today, that you can get over the guys you don't sign. You can't get over the guys you do sign that are wrong, that are sitting there for years eating up your cap space. And so that's what you want to kind of avoid, and that's why they're going to continue to be careful.
You can't buy your way out of trouble. Look at the Jaguars. They're on TV right now as you get your television here.
Yeah, as I forgot until I saw Doug Marrone earlier today that he was the head coach.
Yes.
Like, I knew he had been hired, and then I kind of forgot about it.
Yes.
And it's still weird.
So the Jaguars have continuously spent millions upon millions of free agency. There was a stat the other day someone threw out on Twitter. Like, their entire 2015 free agency class, which was a haul that was praised by some, could be completely off their roster by this year. Within 2 years. You can't buy your way out of trouble in the NFL. You just can't. Now, you could add a couple valuable pieces if you have a strong foundation. The Patriots do it all the time. The Packers kind of did it with Julius Peppers. But the Bears, for where they are in their, let's call it evolution, under Ryan Pace, look, you're going to target young guys that you may get into bidding wars for, and I don't know if that's the thing you want to do.
Yeah, I think they're still going to be careful. And you heard it from Pace in what we played. I mean, you stick to your draft board. You know, as much as you want to panic, I don't know if panic's the right word, but all of a sudden things are playing out in a different way that maybe you didn't think, and you want to reach for a guy, and you stay disciplined to that draft board. The same idea applies in free agency, where Pace said they have numbers attached to all these guys. They have the numbers, how far they're willing to go in negotiations, and you got to be willing to step away when things get a little too crazy. So I think that's the approach that they'll continue to take.
You have to take emotion out of the equation, because you could get...
Right, because you know there's guys right now that he really wants.
Yes. And you get the money to spend. It's easy to get the competitive juices flowing, but at the same time, you have to stay true to your evaluation so you don't overspend.
Yeah.
You don't overdraft a guy because of those competitive juices. And look, it's for the Bears and their fans, you know, this is a patient process. This is a pretty mind-numbingly slow process at some points. But look, the previous regime promised multiple championships and tried to buy themselves a championship
multiple
in a way.
Championships?
And that did not work out whatsoever.
No, it didn't. So that's kind of the situation on Alshon right now. Let's talk about the quarterback now. But actually, before we do this, because I meant to address this at the start, the reaction to the ending of episode 79 of what was formerly known as Intentional Grounding.
Mm-hmm.
It's been pretty popular.
Yeah, I heard about it last night at the JW Marriott bar.
For those that maybe did not listen.
You have this queued up.
Okay. This was me signing off, saying goodbye at the end of our last episode of this podcast, and then what happened right after that. All righty, we'll get out of here. We'll talk to you later on this week. We'll have a new episode on Wednesday from Indianapolis. We'll talk to you then.
I was holding a sneeze.
Yeah, that has been added.
That's a manly sneeze, though.
It sounded like you got hit by Brian Urlacher.
No, that is a man sneeze right there. If we're evaluating If we're gonna play it again,
does this not sound?
You
like...
have this saved on your soundboard.
Oh,
now?
Oh yeah, this is coming back forever. This is definitely coming back. I mean, it sounds like you got killed by somebody. Like right at the end of the podcast, someone came and just tackled you.
No, that's a that is a man sneeze right there, and there was a man trying to hold in that sneeze for about 10 minutes, and I flung off the headphones. Because we were doing it kind of in different places. And, yeah.
Strong, it didn't work.
Strong, microphone, powerful.
The microphone picked it up perfectly.
It sneezes, it has a lot of heart.
Well, I knew instantly that I had to leave that in the podcast. Because I easily could have cut it off right there and it would have been sounded fine. But no, that stayed in there and a lot of people heard it.
Yes. thank you for everybody to wish.
That's what we learned last
the
night.
Final 2 seconds of episode 79, the Jonathan Scott episode.
Jonathan Scott episode. Did I name this episode? I don't think I did.
Yeah, who
number
is
80,
it?
Curtis Conway.
Oh,
it's
yeah,
gotta
it's
be Curtis
yes,
Conway.
Yes, yes.
Love Curtis Conway. He's been doing some TV work, I think.
NFL Network, he was a couple years in a row.
Like
I haven't seen him in some time, though. But
yeah. Well, anyway, this is the Curtis Conway episode, and that was the John Sneezes. That's why you got to listen all the way to the end, people. You have to. There's also something else from last night, speaking of last night, that we have to address. Because this made the rounds on Twitter.
Mm-hmm.
There's a photo, speaking of Pat Finley, who we talked about earlier, your Sun-Times colleague.
Mm-hmm.
There's a photo of him from dinner last night, kind of cozying up to one John Moon Mullen.
Yes.
Comcast Sportsnet. In Chicago, and it's if you haven't seen the photo, you should check it out. I think it's on both of our Twitter feeds. You posted it.
Yes,
you posted it on yours.
I did not take the photo.
No.
Happy to share the photo.
I'm not even, and I'm not gonna sell out who did take the photo.
Okay, that's good.
It's
there's no rats in here.
No, there's not. But it is an interesting photo.
Yes,
and I don't know how to really explain what was happening. All I know is I was eating my dinner.
And Pat's head nearly hit John Moon Mullen's shoulder for some relaxation.
For 5 minutes straight.
Yes. And they were whispering to each other about what we don't know.
I don't know. But it looked like an intimate conversation.
Yes, yes. So that's what you get here.
Down in Indy.
In Indy, yes. You know, a lot of sweet nothings being discussed at the Yard House between John Moon Mullen and Patrick Allison Drake Finley.
I can't believe I really did not understand the name of that podcast.
Yeah. Or do we really understand why Pat said the rest of his head?
But see, no one understood why ours was called Intentional Grounding. I got that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, you named it, right?
Yeah, it was a bad name.
Yeah. Why didn't you do something more positive? Intentional Grounding is
look,
kind of a negative thing.
Right. I don't
hear negative play.
Here's the one thing, and I've said this multiple times, no matter where I've been working,
yes.
No matter who's my boss. The one thing I'm terrible at is naming things.
Yeah.
It took me, let's see, my son was born prematurely at 31 weeks and 4 days. We had his name like 2 days before that. Luckily, just somehow.
It's not bad. Some people walk into their, their children without knowing.
But that's a child's name. But like we got a new cat 2 weeks ago, and we still haven't named her.
It's just cat. You should just keep a cat.
Well, we've been calling
cat.
Her Kitty, and James pronounces it Kiki.
Kiki, there you go.
And so we kind of thought about just calling her Kiki.
Mm-hmm.
That works. But the point is I'm really bad at naming things, and that includes Intentional Grounding. Like, I never really was in love with that name.
What else could you have done? What did you explore that could have been more positive? First and goal?
I don't even know. I probably didn't even put that much thought in it.
Yeah.
But so it sounds like Hogan Johns has even less thought, like it's lazier. But why not just call it
our names?
It's
it works.
Radio.
It works.
It works. So anyway, yeah. The podcast is still the same. We're not changing anything except for the name. We got a new logo. Shanae Paulus at WGN does great work. Our logo's always been cool.
In my opinion. It's been sharp.
We updated that as well. All right. So the other big story from Alshon Jeffery to Jay Cutler today, the answer from Ryan Pace, you heard it. I mean, he's still under contract. It was kind of the answer I thought.
How many times did he say fluid?
That was
7, 8.
Fluid was the most common word used today.
Yeah.
And there's no question about it. And
Fox used it too. I think to describe a different situation, but everything's fluid. Life is fluid.
But
this podcast is fluid.
I don't think they're lying.
No.
Like, I think a lot of people are looking at the Jay Cutler situation like, oh, he's definitely gone 100%. You know, someone asked me a couple weeks ago to put a percentage on it. I said 35% he's back.
Okay.
Maybe I'm coming down to more like 20 after some of the reports that have been out there the last week or so. Maybe even less than that. But I do believe Ryan Pace when he says the situation is fluid. Just today, since we talked to Ryan, we learned Jimmy Garoppolo is probably not getting traded. That came from Adam Schefter.
Yeah.
And Adam Schefter is pretty credible when it comes to Patriots reports. Mm-hmm. Okay, if he says Garoppolo's not getting traded, there's a 99% chance probably he's not getting traded unless
someone sells the entire team for him.
Maybe the Bears haven't offered the number 3 pick yet. Maybe they changed their mind. Maybe they make that phone call and all of a sudden Bill Belichick's mind changes on that. I don't know.
Yes.
But chances are Garoppolo's not being moved. That's a huge storyline in the way it impacts the Bears. Then we hear A.J. McCarron today, who I'm not a big fan of. I don't think the Bears should trade for him. But if that's a guy that Pace likes, well, he's probably not getting moved.
Then you had Kirk Cousins yesterday.
Tagged.
Now, that situation is, well, fluid.
Well, they might trade him, but the Bears aren't trading for
him. Yes. So they're, but with the exclusive franchise tag, now teams aren't even allowed to negotiate with him, which completely changed the leverage situation. So even if you are going to trade for him, you know, things are definitely heavily in the Redskins' favor. So who's next? Mike Glennon? Do you look at the draft picks? Jay Cutler's free agent hopes, I'm sure, are more appealing to other teams now.
But this gets back to the trade thing that I keep harping on.
I'm saying, yeah.
As I'm looking at Twitter today and browsing through some Bucks writers, good Bucks writers that I follow on Twitter, saying how this all impacts Mike Glennon.
Yeah,
and Mike Glennon's stock is rising here, and he's going to be sought after. And in my head, I'm going, Mike Glennon?
Yeah.
I'd rather have Jay Cutler.
Mm-hmm.
So would you rather sign Mike Glennon to a I don't think he's going to get Brock Osweiler money, but if he's all of a sudden...
No, he better not get Brock Osweiler money.
Right, but all of a sudden, don't you think he's going to get overpaid no matter what, though,
whatever the number is? Yeah, yeah.
Would you rather overpay for Mike Glennon, which is probably going to be a contract similar to Jay Cutler's, which all of a sudden, I've said this many times over the last couple months, is way more friendly than you think it is.
Oh, it's not a hindrance by any means.
Right.
We've been pretty clear on that in this podcast.
Right. So would you rather give up, let's say, I don't know, a fifth or sixth round pick for Jay Cutler for a contract you have full control over for a guy who, in my opinion, is better than Mike Glennon? Would you rather give up a sixth round pick for that contract that you can get out of at any moment? You can get out of it before week one if you want to.
Yeah.
He's not on anything until week one, right? So would you rather have that kind of flexibility with a quarterback, in my opinion, is better than Mike Glennon, or do you want to go sign Mike Glennon? This gets back to my point that I still think there's a trade market for Jay Cutler.
My prediction always has been Brian Hoyer, Matt Barkley, and they draft the guy. And I stand by that. I've been adamant in that.
What about Connor Shaw over Matt Barkley?
He's in the mix in training camp.
And there's also...
he played pretty well in the preseason. But
do you think there's any... this is kind of getting off the rails, but any connection with Connor Shaw and Alshon Jeffrey? We know Jeffrey likes Connor Shaw a lot. He played with him in South Carolina.
Yeah, but come on. Come on. Come on.
Well, I mean...
Come on. Come on.
What if Alshon...
Connor Shaw.
I'm with you.
What's with the obsession over this guy?
I know
they mention him. He was.
I'm not obsessed with him. I'm on that train where I don't understand the obsession.
He's brought up a lot.
I understand that. What I'm saying is, what if Alshon says, hey, can you bring Connor Shaw back? We were talking about the fluidity of the quarterback.
Yeah, oh, Jesus. Then
do it, right?
Yeah,
do it. Yes, that's my point.
He's cheap, but like, okay, we're talking about Connor Shaw. With all due respect, Connor Shaw, very impressive in the preseason. Broke his leg. Yes, he has a fan in Ryan Pace and John Fox. Yes, I think he'll get another crack at it if, what is he, restricted free agent, right?
Yeah. So you're saying we're going to be in Bourbonnais watching Brian Hoyer compete with Matt Barkley and
probably maybe a,
you know, Davis Webb.
Or Patrick Mahomes.
That's a first-round guy, man.
Is he, though?
It sure sounds like it.
But a late first round guy. He could be there. What do they have? Pick 34, 34, 35. Either is it 34, 30, either way.
And actually, I've watched a lot of Patrick Mahomes the last couple of weeks. I would probably be willing to draft him there.
At the high second round.
At the high second round. Because I think there's a huge drop off from after Mahomes to the next guy, which is probably Brad Kaya at that point.
Yeah.
And I'm not completely against grabbing Kaya, but probably not that high early second. But Mahomes needs work, man.
Yeah.
I mean, oh my God, you watch his tape. It looks like if there was a street ball version of football, the technique is all over the map. His mechanics are different on every single play. Now, he makes a hell of a lot of plays.
Yeah.
His completion percentage is actually really high, which is surprising when you consider how much he's throwing the football and the ways in which he's running around, scrambling, and he's a playmaker.
Yeah.
He's got a huge cannon. But he needs a lot of work.
Well, all these guys do.
Yep.
That's what I mean.
But Mahomes is on a different. I mean,
I know. But whoever you draft, you don't want to throw them in there day one on a rebuilding team. They're 3-13 next year. No rookie quarterback's going to save the day.
Remember how much Brian Hoyer struggled at the beginning of training camp last year? I'm just like thinking about this. That idea is great,
mm-hmm.
and I actually said this about Jared Goff all year. This is why I wasn't panicking when he wasn't playing.
Mm-hmm.
I said leading up to the draft, he's my number one quarterback, barely over Carson Wentz, barely 1A, 1B. But I think Wentz can play year one. I don't think Goff can. I think the ceiling's higher on Goff. I wouldn't play him year one. He needs that work coming from that offense he did. But you saw what developed in L.A., throughout the season.
Mm-hmm.
That pressure. You draft Mahomes, it's not number one overall, but that's still early second round. If Brian Hoyer struggles at all in training camp, struggles at all in the preseason,
mm-hmm.
it's going to start Mahomes right away. Yeah, start him.
It's that instant gratification that it's like the Netflix culture. You can watch when you want to watch it, whenever you want to watch it, right? It's all available at your fingertips, right? You want to hear a song? Look it up on the internet. It's right there for you, right? No one wants to take the time to let things work themselves out. These quarterbacks require time. They all do. Even like your Andrew Lux, Peyton Manning, he threw a ton of interceptions his first year. These guys require time. It's the hardest position in all of sports to figure out and to get down. Now it takes an organizational philosophy to allow for that patience. I think the Bears are there, even with John Fox having 2 years left and going 6-10 and 3-13. I think it's an important position. I think they're willing to try to win with a veteran for a little bit and having him help develop a youngster behind him.
Getting back to what Pace was talking about with the fluidity.
Fluid, not fluidity. Same stuff, but let's be...
Fluidity?
No, he said fluid about 18 times.
Right, I know. But what I'm saying is he said that they're prepared for every scenario. And I was standing there in that moment going, if they really are, that's impressive. Because there's so many scenarios.
Yeah, yeah.
That, I mean, who's going to be the quarterback in San Francisco? I feel like that's a huge domino.
Yeah, Kyle Shanahan basically said, how do I want to paraphrase this? We don't have any quarterbacks.
They don't.
Our depth chart starts at zero. We don't have a quarterback.
Right.
So
the Bears at least have Cutler on their depth chart
yes,
right now.
Yes.
Other than that, they don't have a single guy under contract.
Right. So
the 49ers have nothing because Kaepernick's opting out.
Mm-hmm. So there's a team directly in front of the Bears in the draft order that can affect them in so many different ways. Talking about scenarios.
Yeah, in free agency and the draft.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. Or it could be a trade partner for a certain quarterback.
Right.
Because,
look, they're probably going to try to work out a trade for Cousins if they can, right?
Yeah.
In which case, you're trading for him, and then you're signing him to a long-term deal.
Mm-hmm. But they have 6 years out there. Kyle Shanahan and John Lynch have matching six-year contracts to try to get things right. No reason to go crazy in year one to try to figure it out. Kirk Cousins is a very good quarterback. Very good. I happen to like him a lot more than some others in our media world do. I think he's a very good quarterback again. Now, would I completely go bonkers and give up a bunch of picks and sign him to a crazy deal? I don't know if I would do that.
Yeah.
As much as I like him. And look, this is just me talking.
So here's a couple questions. Because if Cousins doesn't work out as a trade, you mentioned Cutler.
Mm-hmm.
Shanahan, Kyle Shanahan has a history with Cutler. He also has a history of Brian Hoyer in Cleveland. Okay, so that's where I talk about San Francisco being such a huge domino here. Could directly impact the Bears.
Yep.
We had this conversation in our last episode about Jay Cutler's leverage. Would he want to go to San Francisco? I mean, you're not going to win there.
No,
I don't think at this point in his career he'd prefer to be playing for a team that could win.
Yeah. So which team is that? That like we said before, the Houston Texans.
And the 49ers might have the worst roster in football.
Yeah.
Like they're worse. Their roster is probably worse than the Browns.
Mm-hmm. And Jay Cutler is thought to have at least some say in where he goes. Because he could retire. That's the threat. I don't think he will.
I don't think he will either.
Again, it's all fluid, Adam.
Fluid.
I really don't mind him saying all that, though, based the way he described it, because it truly is.
But it is. I don't think he knows how this stuff's going to play out. Mm-hmm. I don't know how he could.
Now he'll get more clarity this week. It's when the real discussions happen this week. I mean, with the free agency window literally backed up to the combine ending, 3-day window. It goes combine, 3-day negotiating window, free agency. I mean, that's a lot of chaos where a lot of decisions have to be made fast.
Yeah. I mean, what if the 49ers just end up signing Hoyer and drafting Mitch Trubisky?
Yeah. That is
developmental situation.
A completely sane path. Completely sane.
What about if it's for the Bears? If that's the path the Bears take?
Drafting, would you do it at 3? Now, remember what Pace said.
I don't think I would.
He wants value over reaching. Now, you always, in many instances, you're reaching at a quarterback in so many ways. If you don't have an Andrew Luck, Jameis Winston, Marcus Mariota to an extent.
Well, I can tell you right now that I think Trubisky is going to be my number one quarterback, but I'm not done finalizing that, okay?
Mm-hmm.
We'll know a lot more after the combine. But what I can tell you for sure right now is Jonathan Allen and Jamal Adams are both going to be ranked higher than Trubisky on my overall draft board. So if you're asking me, would I take him at 3? Probably not, because one of those two guys is going to still be on the board, assuming the Browns take Myles Garrett.
Yeah.
Right. So the answer to your question is probably no. I love Jamal Adams. The more it's not just the tape. A lot of people are talking about Malik Hooker having more ball skills, which is what the Bears need. There's no question about that.
Yes, sir.
But he's also raw, and really what puts Adams over the edge for me is everyone you talk to says that dude can come in and be a quarterback of the defense right away. He's a leader. He's somebody who can dominate the locker room. And the Bears haven't had that since Mike Brown. Not just the playmaking ability, but the leadership. A guy on that. They really haven't had a true quarterback of the defense since
They've
Urlacher.
Just had a bunch of guys.
Since Urlacher retired.
Like an actual leader.
Right. I'm a guy that's out there every play that knows where everyone needs to be and can read what the offense is doing before the play happens. It's instincts, okay? Those instincts show up on tape with Adams. And everyone you talk to says he has those abilities. He showed those other abilities, those intangibles at LSU. That's why this idea of not taking into safety that early, I understand it. We talk about it every year, but I think Adams is really the exception to that rule.
Is it Malik Hooker or hasn't he or will he undergo some sort of surgery too?
Yeah, he's not working out here at the combine.
So there's something there which will obviously result in some red flags for a guy who was really a one-year starter there, right?
Yeah, and a lot of people think his upside's higher because he's still so raw and he picked off so many passes this year. I think he had 8.
And those projections matter. I mean, you're not drafting the college player. You're drafting what he projects to be as an NFL player.
But I think there's also more risk there.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And again, I love what's really selling Adams to me is the idea of him coming in right away and being a guy that is going to be reliable and really understand what's happening on defense on every play. So I'd much rather have that than Mitch Trubisky, who I think I like most among the quarterbacks, but don't feel. I mean, if he's not going to be available in the second round, but
no,
I feel
no,
much
no,
better.
You won't get there.
I feel much better about him there than
the scenario. Yeah. Whether it's look, I know we're getting off the Cutler topic a little bit here, but in terms of like a quarterback, if you're moving on from Cutler and you're drafting a quarterback, moving down in the first round, say there is some team who really loves, look, maybe a Leonard Fournette, one of those receivers, and they really need to move up to get him. Give up the third pick, move down in the first round where you get greater value for that quarterback, maybe add a second round pick. Trading down out of that number three pick, because I think the Bears and a lot of teams will have a lot of these defensive players almost grouped together in a lot of chunks because there's some stars there, but I don't know if anyone's really separated themselves from the others.
Yeah.
You know, there's no Jadeveon Clowney in this draft as much.
Well, a lot of people think Garrett is.
Yeah, but is he? I don't know. I don't think there's a guarantee he'll be the first overall pick.
I actually think Garrett has less questions than Clowney. Because a lot of people question Clowney's health and his. Remember his senior year didn't go that great? Or it wasn't his senior year, but his last year?
Yeah.
His last year was not as dominant as when he was leaping 100 feet in the air to tackle guys in the backfield.
But you could criticize Myles Garrett for doing nothing against Cam Robinson, who may be the third best offensive tackle in this draft.
Yep.
So I don't think he's a sure thing at number one. I think he's everybody's favorite right now. But just getting back to the point where you could gain value by moving that third pick, maybe grab a quarterback at 15 or 16 and pick up that second-round pick where you could still take advantage of these very deep safety and cornerback classes and receiver classes and pass rusher classes. This is a very good draft.
Defensively, it's a great draft.
Yes.
And from a secondary standpoint.
Yes, it's
Which might be a reason why the Bears pass on Jamal Adams early, because they could feel like you know what, there's a safety we can get in the second round that's still going to be a stud.
Yeah.
I think Adams is the all pro type player, way different, that is still worth taking there, but that might also afford you the ability to then take a lot of people value corner over safety, and I understand that, but taking the future all-pro guy in number three, mm-hmm. Jamal Adams, and then picking up a corner second, third round where you talk to a lot of people, they think you still get quality starters.
Oh, yeah.
Even
in
the third round at the cornerback position, that might be,
We should reiterate a point again. Like, you talk to some evaluators, scouts, executives. In general, this is a very good draft. This isn't like the draft a few years ago where you had all those tackles go, in the top 10, top 15, whatever it was. Offensive tackles. This is chock full of talented players. Deep at cornerback, deep at safety, deep at pass rusher, deep at tight end. All positions of need for the Bears. Just not strong at quarterback.
Yeah. Bad year to need a quarterback.
Mm-hmm.
Next year.
Well, they got that kid from USC.
Yeah. Darnold looks awesome. Josh Rosen, a lot of people like
from UCLA.
And that kid out of Wyoming, too. I think Josh Allen's his name.
Mm-hmm.
Matt Miller had him mocked to the Bears a month ago before he decided to go back for a senior year.
Yeah.
At number three. I mean, a lot of people like him. So
I wonder what the advisory board gave him, or committee, whatever it's called, gave him.
Allen?
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. But, Sam Darnold, I like him, man. That dude. Can the Bears go 3-13 again and end up with a top three pick next year?
I don't think they go 3-13.
Without everyone getting fired?
Yeah, I do think they
I don't think they do either.
Yeah.
But if they did, would the patience still be there to be like, hey, Sam Darnold might be there.
Right.
Or are you blowing it all up again? I don't think that's going to be what we're talking about a year from now, though. All right, one more Bears thing, and then I want to just...
We'll sneeze and we'll go?
Yeah, then you can sneeze and get out of here. Kyle Long.
Mm-hmm.
Came out today, and Ryan Pace confirmed that Kyle Long will not have shoulder surgery after all.
Yes.
To repair that much-publicized torn labrum he was playing with this year. You surprised by that?
Yes, because they found the tear. No, because, look, all tears are different, and yes, the shoulder is immensely important to every single position in the NFL. But this is a guy who, one, never played with a brace last year. His movements didn't need to be limited because the injury was never that significant.
But he also wasn't playing at his top level.
Okay, well, there's probably a lot of reasons for that.
Okay, here's my concern. Look, we all saw the ankle in Tampa.
Yeah.
When that happened, it was ugly. I mean, we kind of all knew right away because we all saw it with our own eyes in the locker room after the game.
Oh, it was disgusting. Yeah.
That thing was, there was a good chance we weren't going to see Kyle Long the rest of the year.
There were more colors in his ankle than a rainbow.
So we've learned since that a lot of the ligaments tore, which we knew. I mean, that's why you have surgery.
Yeah.
I mean, so he goes through all that. Obviously were some complications. I don't want to say complications, but didn't Howie Long come out and say that
he had a bad reaction to the
medicine,
the anesthesia.
We saw him in the locker room when the season ended, and
didn't he say the same thing?
Yeah, no, he said all this. This is all public stuff.
Yeah,
but he also was noticeably not the mammoth human being.
Yeah,
that we've seen him when he's just shoving guys down and run bulldozing guys 10 yards downfield. Mm-hmm. He was noticeably skinnier, and he told us he lost all that weight. So I guess the what I'm getting at, and I'm not like knocking him at all or saying there's any major concern here going forward, but it's pretty obvious that this ankle thing is a lot more complicated than maybe we thought.
Yeah.
Oh, he's having surgery. Ligaments will be fine. He'll be back for OTAs.
No,
it's obvious that this has gone beyond that. He's got to build strength back. I'm assuming he's lifting. He's got to be lifting to get the muscle back, and he's obviously lifting with that torn labrum, and they've determined that it's fine. But I guess if I'm going to bring up a concern here, looking at it from both sides, how concerning is this ankle recovery still? I mean, Pace would not commit to him coming back for OTAs.
Yes. The
when we asked him today.
The athleticism and mobility of Kyle Long, I think, is what separates him from a lot of guards, interior linemen. Look, technically, he's still coming along because his football days still are quite limited. Yeah. 1 year starter at Oregon. But it was his just pure athleticism and his ability to move and get to the second level and run you down and bring that nasty right to your face. That's what made him so good. You can't do that if you don't have your ankle. So they got to get this right. They have to. He is so valuable. Just got a big deal last year. Leader on that team.
And by the way, that deal came after the torn labrum. So another indication that they weren't really concerned.
Yes.
I mean, they gave him a massive extension weeks after he had the torn labrum in his shoulder.
Yeah, and it's my understanding they found the torn labrum when they were evaluating another injury. So it's just, look, they need him so much next year. They need him to be better than what he was last year. So, yes, he had his struggles at moments, but he is still one of their core players moving forward. There were no questions about him like there are questions about Alshon Jeffrey. This guy is all in. The Bears are all in on him, too. They need that foot, that ankle, all of those ligaments to be right because, look, players get rolled up. Offensive linemen get rolled up all the time. It is crazy in those trenches. They need him right.
Yeah. I think they view the depth on the interior of their offensive line as a strength right now.
Mm-hmm.
They re-signed Eric Kush, who they obviously like. Not all that money's guaranteed, but it adds up to like $2.7 million over the next 2 years, which is a significant investment for a guy that has not made that much money up to this point in his career. And that's just a backup. Otherwise, Josh Sitton. The trio of Josh Sitton, Cody Whitehair, and Kyle Long is a Pro Bowl interior. If everyone's healthy. Now, that if healthy thing, as we've learned over the last 2 years, is a huge question mark. But then you forget about Hronis Grasu already,
mm-hmm.
and how he fits. So they view that as a strength of this team. John Fox talked about that today, and they got to get it right. All right. will give us both the opportunity to share one more thing that maybe we saw, learned today in Indianapolis. I'll start. I am kind of interested in how this Chris Ballard thing works out in Indianapolis. We are here in Indy. The new GM of the Indianapolis Colts, who was a finalist for the Bears GM job 2 years ago and wanted to, it was publicized pretty clearly, he wanted to make some changes to the structure of the organization, and they decided to keep things the same, and they went with Ryan Pace instead. Ballard, very well respected around the league, was one of those guys that had so many job interviews, so many opportunities to jump at a GM job. He waited for the opportunity to have Andrew
opportunity
Luck.
Of a lifetime, yeah. Right there. You get the hardest part of the job already figured out.
But anyway, I'm very intrigued to kind of watch how his tenure in Indy goes, considering the Bears could have had him. They probably could have had him when they hired Phil Emery too. So anyway, today watched his press conference and was very impressed. Just kind of the way he came off, the way he explained things, his scouting strategies, things like that. So I think it's a great hire for Indianapolis.
I'm working on a story for Friday. I went to the press conferences for Sasha Brown of the Browns, and I went to Kyle Shanahan's today, and I think John Lynch is speaking tomorrow for the 49ers. I think it's their stories and their narratives and what they're doing, whether it's free agency or the draft, is very important to monitor, because a lot of their needs, like we were discussing, are very similar to the Bears. They're rebuilding teams. They need quarterbacks. And I think everything they do bears watching. So I found some of their comments kind of interesting. Kyle Shanahan was talking about how evaluating 1 year of tape of a quarterback can limit you. So obviously Mitch Trubisky was 1 year as a starter, or DeShone Kizer, whose tape is very limited, how that limits you in your evaluation. So everything they say, even if it's reading between the lines of what they say, I think it's very intriguing, because they are directly in front of the Bears in the draft order, and they have the same exact important need at quarterback.
Part of the problem with each one of these quarterbacks is there's a long list of boxes you check, obviously, when you evaluate a quarterback, but there's always the ones that matter a little bit more. Does a guy win? Does a guy protect the football, right? Trubisky, and also how experience. Like, those are the three big things, I would say. Does he win football games? We've heard a lot of Brian Pace talked today about elevating your program, right?
Which just hints at DeShone Watson.
He brought up Drew Brees, who elevated Purdue. Obviously, Pace worked closely with Drew Brees in New Orleans. Drew Brees took Purdue to the Rose Bowl. They've been terrible ever since, you know. Watson elevated Clemson. Two really impressive performances against Alabama in high-profile games. That all matters. But he doesn't check the protecting the football box, which is arguably the thing the Bears have to fix the most at that position. So there's a flaw there. Trubisky, you know, seems to protect the football pretty well. His numbers are good, but he's only played 1 year. Doesn't have the experience. People want to know why he couldn't beat out, I forget the guy's name that was there ahead of him, 3 year starter. Trubisky was behind him. And then Kizer, not a winner.
No.
I mean, lost too many games, so he doesn't have that, you know, elevated the program type thing.
And those are your top three quarterbacks in this draft.
And there's Mahomes.
Complete wild card.
Who, I mean, Texas Tech wasn't winning. Protects the football okay. Made some bad decisions, though. Trubisky did, too. They all have their flaws. That's kind of the problem. And that's where I always talk about the draft picture getting clearer and clearer as we get to April. As we keep, you know, every day goes by, it's becoming clearer and clearer to me that the Bears should not draft a quarterback at number three. Not at number three. So
I agree with you. This is when I sneeze.
Yeah, I was going to say, I mean, you have one ready?
I don't.
You ready to go? Well, good thing that I saved this forever.
You hear me? The best part's even not even the sneeze. It's all the ruffling at the end of it.
As right, I'm which I left
to,
in
as
there.
I'm trying to get away from the microphone.
It's the greatest. All right. Well, we're going to come back, I think, with another episode before we leave Indy.
Yeah, let's do it.
So we'll get you two episodes from down here.
Maybe talk a little bit more about the prospects.
Yeah, we need
names.
Day one is all the NFL.
Yeah.
Talk to the GMs, talk to the head coaches, get the, you know, the feel for the Bears. Tomorrow is when we start to, well, we got the running backs tomorrow. We get the offensive linemen tomorrow.
Yeah.
So it'll start to, the attention will kind of turn more to the prospects going forward.
Quarterbacks are Friday.
That's correct.
Maybe we'll do it after them.
Maybe. We'll figure it out. This is Hogan Johns, episode 80. I thought for sure I would call it the wrong thing.
I don't think you did.
But I did not.
The Splitting Atoms podcast. No. Pass.
Yeah. Kind of a weird name. Thanks, Pat, though.
Now, if we were into chemistry and other stuff.
Great science.
Yes, podcast science name. Podcast. Yes. Right.
I don't know anything about science,
no,
though.
No.
Follow us on Twitter at Adam Hoge, H-O-G-E, at Adam Johns, J-A-H-N-S. Read us at WGNradio.com/BearsChicagoSunTimes.com. And again, if you're trying to find us on iTunes, I think you'll still be there at Intentional Grounding. Try Hogan Johns, whatever. Just subscribe and rate it and review it. We appreciate you doing that. We'll talk to you within the next 48 hours here from Indy on Hogan Johns. Talk to you then.
Hachu.
I was a math major. I wasn't actually, but